We were at Spanish Fort, where we had brought Tabitha back from the depths of space and time. Our plan to connect our psychics bore fruit as chance got a hold of Tabitha. She was on the shoreline downtown, and the event had been moved to a vintage riverboat called the Treasure Chest. Tabitha had dropped Devereaux off there, and Cecile had gone on board, along with the best and the brightest of the Big Easy. It was fortuitous, in a way, that Lake Pontchartrain had spit us out. If we'd followed the channels to the center of town, we'd have been at the wrong place. Now, if we drove without the slightest regard for collateral damage, we could be there in 15 minutes. We scrounged hardware off the Brits. Plenty of automatic weapons, grenades even, but no body armor and no time for me to raise the shield devices either. I suddenly felt very vulnerable. Karen Chance said she'd come with us, which was fine with me. With Brooks dead, she was the closest thing we had to a sorcerer. We would need every asset at our disposal. I changed into the tux, and then we contacted Tabitha again to tell her that Cell Dragonfly of Delta Green was on the way. It was a good thing, too, because she informed us the riverboat had left. That meant that we'd have to go onto the lake. Fortunately, the Brits had a motorboat secured, and Chief leapt on board and started her up. We contacted Lansdale again and asked Cell Orca's Olive to get us any form of visual recon, but repurposing a satellite would take too long, and apparently the weird mist was playing havoc with any electrical systems. I asked her to make a calculated guesstimate as to where the treasure chest might be, assuming it was heading for the center of Lake Pontchartrain. Our only hope was to set an intercept course and pray for the best. It was, I will confess, a desperate gamble, but it worked. As we cruised out into the center of the lake, we saw the riverboat with its massive paddling wheel to the back. I was sure that DuPont had set that one up, getting his moment of glory where the South will rise again off the deck of a southern riverboat. And then, as we got close to it, it went underwater. It did not sink. It just tipped its bow and slid under the waters of Lake Pontchartrain with the mist solidifying around us. There was no choice. We had no option. We dove into the water after it. The water was warm, far warmer than Lake Pontchartrain has any business to be, especially in January. I grabbed the paddle wheel and I could see some of the others get to do the same. The wheel's turn took me underwater, then threw me up on the deck, and I smashed into the woodwork, knocking the breath right out of me. Breathing was an issue, as we were still underwater. It got worse, as a pack of assholes in expensive suits came storming in. What was most worrying? They moved very fast, apparently unhindered by the water. Two were on me straight away, started using me for football practice. I took the hits, waiting for an opening and trying to conserve my breath, till it dawned on me that both were wearing the strange masks. Then one of them landed a huge kick in my ribcage, and hurt like a motherfucker. I reckon at least one rib had been cracked. I might have been able to block him, but I was too busy slipping the mask over my face. Once I did, I was able to see clearly, and oddly enough, the other masks had become transparent. One of the assholes was Bryce. I noticed that Chief, Frost, and Wilmot had also made it on deck, but no sign of Karen. Wilmot and Frost both had swords out. Frost his katana, and Wilmot had obviously been armed by Alaria, who also hit the deck on the next rotation. Wilmot laid into Bryce, and then kicked him off his feet into the paddles, and he disappeared off the deck. That was good, but there were still a dozen other tangos on deck. I was hurt, badly. Frost was somewhere in the middle of a pack of the masked enemies, slashing and dodging. I was aware that the clock was ticking. The vessel was leveling, and over the superstructure, I could see that we were surfacing in sight of an alien city, all towers and spires jutting at unnatural angles. Alaria shouted, "Go, I'll deal with these ones." She made me a believer. She raced forward in a blur of speed, and with deadly grace carved two enemy in twain with that huge blade of hers, creating an opening for Wilmot, Chief, and I to rush up the stairs to the next level. This was the ballroom, and it was empty, save for two people. One was Devereaux, tied to a chair. The other was Angel, holding a sword at Devereaux's throat. "He did what all assholes do in such a situation. He told us we were too late. He told us if we moved one more inch, he'd kill her." I traded some more insults with him, trying to provoke him and get him distracted. But it was Devereaux who broke the stalemate. She flexed her muscles and threw herself and the chair back into Angel. He stumbled backwards, and Devereaux followed up with a smart kick from a stiletto heel that knocked him over with a yelp of pain. She then rolled aside, and Wilma pounced on him with murderous intent. Chief and I exchanged glances with Devereaux, and then with each other, and we knew what we had to do. We could not afford to waste time. I heard Angel's scream as we stormed up the stairs to the upper deck, and arrived just in time to see the treasure chest slip alongside the docks. The floor of the upper deck was filled with masked-wearing men and women in full evening dress, seemingly oblivious to their alien surroundings. The ship docked, and the crowd descended in a procession. Chief and I followed.